Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 21. And our Lord says, "When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first." And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you." But he said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. If you're like me, I've always been kind of fascinated with the subject of demon possession. To think that an evil spirit could enter a person's body and somehow occupy their mind and cause physical things to happen in their life. It's a very fascinating thing. And we have examples of it, a few of them at least, in the Bible. There seems to be a heightened activity of both the good heavenly angels and the demonic angels at the time of Christ, which would make sense. However, physical possession by the devil is really not the focus of Scripture's attention for us. The Bible doesn't really talk to us a whole lot about being concerned about being physically occupied by the devil. Spiritual occupation, that's different. In fact, if you look at in the Scriptures, God really doesn't give the command to pastors to go out and perform exorcisms, even though there are examples of that in the Bible. But he frequently commands pastors to warn people about the danger of spiritual occupation by the devil. The devil is a formidable enemy for us. Our Lord, in the illustrations he uses the thoughts of a strong man, fully armed, guarding his palace, someone who's not to be taken lightly. The Greek has the imagery of someone who's like a giant warrior occupying this palace, this house now. Satan not only will seek to occupy a person's heart, but he fortifies it once he gets hold of it, and he will watch over it and protect what he has claimed. He has made it his palace. He will guard it, our Lord says. And it ticks him off when anyone tries to take it away from him. He's relentless. Luther says, the devil never takes a vacation. Now, Jesus sort of pulls back the covering on this nether world of the evil spirits, and he allows us to kind of see beneath that surface. The devil and his cohorts, on the other hand, want to put that covering back in place and don't want us to see really what's going on beneath the surface. Don't want us to see the dangers that lurk for us in this spiritual realm. He would have us instead become what we might call desensitized to his very existence, to have us kind of forget about the fact that he's there and to forget about the potential danger that he poses to us. And he would convince us that there's so many other things in this world and in this life that we really need to be occupied with and need to have our time and our minds concerned about and not to be worried about this spiritual aspect of life. But that's the great danger that he poses to us. And when he can get us to think that way, he's already started to come back into the house of our souls and to repossess us. Jesus is warning us in our text that there really is no middle ground. Listen again. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Now, maybe you think in your mind that, well, you've come up with a certain spot, this spiritual place that you have found where maybe you're not really with Christ right now, someday you hope to be. Maybe you're really not with Him, but you're certainly not with the devil either. If you've convinced yourself that you found this special middle ground, then you're really with the side of the devil. Because one of the deceptive, lying things that he gets people to think is that very thought. That this middle place spiritually exists. And it really doesn't belong to him. But it does. Now, our Lord is speaking to believers who have been brought to faith in him, come to see him as their Savior, trust in him as the one who died to forgive their sins so they could have faith in him now and go to heaven someday. And he does not want us to be reoccupied. He does not want the devil and his evil spirits to again gain re-entry into the house of our souls and to reoccupy us. And I know for myself, one of the great dangerous places where that can happen is when I start to think like this. When I start to wrap myself in the comforting thought that I've been raised in such a nice Christian family, and I've got Christianity so deep in my background, and I know a lot of Bible passages. I go to church a lot. I've got Christianity in my heritage and Christian education. I understand this stuff so well. Ask me and I can break down doctrines for you and so on. But at the same time, maybe not really pay much attention to my heart. Maybe let myself start to sinfully gravitate back toward things. And when we're young, we can think, well, someday I can always go back to Christ. Someday I'll get more serious about this. That's when these evil spirits have a tendency to sneak back in through the windows and the crevices and the cracks of the house of my soul and reoccupy me. Jesus is kind of waking us up today and having us ask ourselves the question, am I really with Christ? Am I really with Christ? Because if I'm not, there's only one other potential occupier of my soul. Jesus says, when a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. Speaking of how the devil can control someone. But then he says this, but when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. Luther said it well about Christ himself. For us fights the valiant one whom God himself elected. St. John says about Jesus, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Don't you love the imagery Jesus uses here about when he comes in to occupy the house of our souls and drives the devil out? He says, he takes away from him all of his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils, complete devastation, completely conquering him. He is the only one who is stronger than the devil and his co-workers. He's the only one that can free us from the devil's grasp and drive him out of the house of our hearts. Sometimes we might, I remember when I was a child, I would think about Jesus and the devil almost like they were on equal footing. We think of that story of the temptation of Christ and how the devil could take him places. And we almost think of the devil and Christ as being somewhat co-equal in their strength and power. That's not the case at all. Christ is the one who created the angels. The devil is one of those fallen angels. He was kicked out of heaven by the authority and the power of this Christ. Our Lord can subdue him with just a couple of words, should he want to. He defeated his greatest work against us by just dying. Something that happens every day in the world to people. By just dying on a cross, he defeated the power of the devil. And by rising back to life again. And he has graciously chosen to give you and me that victory, that kind of strength and that kind of power to drive him away from us. And by the Holy Spirit causing us to have faith in this Savior, this valiant one, we now are occupied by this much stronger force. Stories are told about Bethany's top floor of Anderson Hall, which is used to be an attic. I don't want to freak you out, but those of you that live in there. But years ago, that was just an attic with no rooms in it. And stories are told that during the Depression, there were times when bums would come off of the trains and sneak up into the attic in the summertime because nobody was living in the dorms. Even in the 1940s, when my father was here, he worked here in the summer and would sometimes live in the dorm. And he remembered a few times going up into that attic and he would find a sleeping bag or some things. You could tell somebody had been living up there. At the time, Doc Ilvesacker lived in the president's house over here. And my father told him about it and he said, well, I think you need to go up there every couple days or so just to make sure to keep anybody out of there, that nobody's living in there. Throw all of that stuff away. That's what our Lord is really telling us to do when it comes to spiritual matters in our lives. Every day, take the powerful Word of God down into your heart and into your soul and go back in and look and see and find, are there any evil forces that are trying to regain me, that are trying to take me back over? And with the powerful Word of the Valiant One, drive them back out of the house of your heart. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Amen. Please rise. Please join me in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.